values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
All right, I can't imagine we're going to fit this into one segment. We'll give it a try. The biggest news stories of the day. Did you hear this?
Did you hear this? Broomhead's reaction to the hottest news stories.
An Arizona grand jury has indicted 18 people in a fake elector scheme dating back to the 2020 election. It comes after a 13-month investigation into what happened in 2020. Attorney General Chris Mays explained the indictment.
We're here because justice demands an answer to the efforts that the defendants and other unindicted co-conspirators allegedly took to undermine the will of Arizona's voters during the 2020 presidential election.
What will come of these indictments?
I have absolutely no idea, but this is going to be a long time coming. It's not going to be a fast process. It's going to be a slow process. And I know that it's not necessarily a popular thing, but I don't see this right now on its face as much different than being the two sides of the same coin of the constant lawsuits and appeals that went through the court system on the overturning the 2020 or the 2022 election. If we're moving on, let's move on. This happened in 2020. It did not change the results of the election. So at face value, I think this is going to be a long process that's going to keep an old wound open when many people want to close the wound and move forward.
Arizona State House Representative Timothy Dunn joined the show to explain why he voted yes to repeal the 1864 abortion law yesterday. Representative Dunn said he was thinking about the long term.
We had to eliminate that, so we go back to 15 weeks, and now we have a better chance of stopping that and defeating that ballot measure so we can save more babies' lives long term.
What did you think of his reasoning for voting yes?
I understand it. I understand it completely. If you're someone that's pro-life, and I am, and you're looking at what the ballot initiative is out there and the support that's out there, and understanding how a ballot initiative works, that these signatures get on the ballot, it's on the ballot for you to vote on for guaranteed access to abortion. That's one thing that many people believe is legitimate. But if you believe that this thing is going to open the door to something much more than you believe is reasonable, and it alters the Constitution and is almost impossible to ever reverse, as a pro-life person, you have to look at that and say, do we fight for the best that we can get, or do we stand our ground on one issue, win a battle, and lose the war? So I definitely understand his way of thinking. It's a very difficult decision for someone that's pro-life, but I appreciate his candor. You are listening to Did You Hear This? We do it every day at 11:20 to catch you up on the headlines.
U.S. economic growth slowed sharply to 1.6% last quarter, according to the Commerce Department's GDP report.
Thursday's report showing the economy slowed drastically from the final 3 months of 2023, when growth was at 3.4%. The economic slowdown, the result of high interest rates that are taking a toll on borrowing and spending.
What does this tell you about how the Federal Reserve is handling interest rates?
I think this may be an indicator that we might have some kind of an interest rate cut this year if we see inflation begin to drop now along with economic growth. Because, you know, the supply side of things, if people are not buying it and it's stacking up on the shelves, it drops prices down. It also depends a lot on fuel prices. What's going to happen with food prices? That's always a big part of this as well. What we have seen that's as concerning to me as anything else, I would say even more concerning, is that we are seeing inflation remain sticky. We need to see that number dropping as well. When that number begins to drop, then I'll feel a lot better. But right now, it's tough on both sides.
The United States Supreme Court heard arguments this morning over how much immunity a former president of the United States should enjoy from criminal prosecution. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson questioned the idea of absolute immunity for presidents.
Let me put this worry on the table. If the potential for criminal liability is taken off the table, wouldn't there be a significant risk that future presidents would be emboldened to commit crimes with abandon while they're in office?
Is absolute immunity for a president a dangerous road to go down?
I think absolute immunity for anyone is a difficult road and a scary road to go down, but just on the opposite side, and that's the razor thin line that has to be walked. Because if a president has to be concerned about the opposite political party or political opponents coming after them after the presidency, now you have to worry about the decisions you would make as president that you think are valuable but would concern you about after your time in office and would hinder your ability to do your job. I think both of them are reasonable conversations. Both of them are reasonable concerns. What I'm not smart enough to figure out is what's the reasonable conclusion. All right, great job, Julia. How you got that into one segment. Good for you.
I'm not sure how I finished
it. I don't know how you did that either. By the way, Julie has been around here on roller skates all day, from one interview to the next interview to cutting things up and guests in studio. This has been a busy day. I'll tell you what, tomorrow we'll work and we'll take 2 days off. How's that sound?
Wow, that's like magic.
That's magic. All right.